muscle memory. Now open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to spend in verse 5 of Acts chapter 8, read down through verse 24. Chapter 8, verses 5. City of and preached Christ and the multitudes hearing and seeing the miracle crying out with a loud voice came out many who were possessed and many who were paralyzed and were healed, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. But they all gave praise, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he astonished them for a long time. But when they believed that he preached the name of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with them and was amazed, seeing the miracle of Simon. Now when the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. But when they had come, prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. But yet he had fallen upon them and only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid a hand on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money and give me also the power that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion of the matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent of wickedness. Pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Simon answered and said, "Pray the Lord for me that none of the things you have spoken may come upon me." That's the reading of Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 20. That will be the subject for the entirety of our study this evening. You know, when I was in high school, a long time, I took Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. I never did like algebra. I struggled with algebra. I blame it all on. But nonetheless, it simply was not my forte. But I did find out, not because I didn't go to college, which I did. At the back of the book, I didn't understand the principle that that tried to get through my book. I didn't understand what I could turn. Was worked out in simple problems. And that's the point of what the book was trying to get across and what the book was trying to go. Simple problems. There are books of the Bible that have the principles of salvation. The whole thing of it is simple problems. But it's a deep book. It's difficult to understand. Otherwise, how smarter than I am, or Satan knows more than he knows. But nonetheless, the book of the principles. But if you have a hard time understanding the principles that are taught in the book of Romans and the other books of the Bible that teach us the principles of salvation, how to live for the Lord, turn to the book that has samples worked out for us. And see those principles exemplified. That's the book. Jesus is in Rome, which covers a period of about 30 years. At that time, the church began and grew, and the gospel spread to the world. And the book of Acts contains the examples of the found in the meteor books of the New Testament. So if you want to know how to be saved, the place to go is that. And I love to preach. It's called the Roman Road. And the book of Romans. Sometimes it's difficult. Problem that a lot of people have trouble with. And that problem is sin in the life of the Christian. Most people admit Christians struggle with sin, and that none of us lives a life without sin. We have to depend upon the grace of God for our salvation. But there's theories that people have found in their own minds that simply contradict what the Scripture said. Example of sin in the life of the gospel of Christ. That Christian has not yet been given. But we're going to talk about Christ. No way. Lost to salvation. And though he was born again, God. He sinned, he fell, he was lost. How could he be saved? All that's possible to happen. And this example shows not only is it possible, but it did happen. At the example of Simon, but to clarify this problem, not just that just one little sin in my life, if I don't repent of it, me to be lost? Well, I'm not going to answer that question as this example of the case of Simon the Sorcerer, who had been a magician, who became a disciple of Christ, and then fell from grace. Will want just one little sin cause a child of God to be lost? Well, let's study the case of Simon. First of all, we need to prove conclusively, some people deny this. In fact, our friends out in the denomination were saved, always saved. They deny that Simon was ever saved to begin with. I believe it's exceedingly simple and easy to prove that Simon became a saved man. If you read in Acts chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, Simon saved and obeyed just as did. Look at Acts chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. But when they believed Philip as the kingdom of God, they were baptized both men and women. Now, everybody admits that. Last year, Arkansas, in the book of Acts, there was a lady in that book saved back. She accepted the fact that Simon was American. She denied that Simon was saved. Exactly the same thing as far as becoming the disciples of Christ. When they believe the preacher Philip was in the name of God, the kingdom of God, in the name of God, men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Notice what Jesus said we need to do to be saved in Mark 16, verse 16, when he gave the Great Commission. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Were baptized. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you believe what you say, but notice, please, Simon did the same thing exactly that the other Samaritans did. Simon himself also. That makes it believe. And when he was baptized, Simon believed and baptized just as the other believed and were baptized. Why would anybody accept that the were saved because he was Simon was saved when he was baptized? All of them had done what Jesus did in order to be saved in Mark 16. Believes and is baptized shall be saved. And so we all saved. All saved. At this point, is a saved man. He's born again, born with the blood of Christ, a child of God, a disciple of Christ. What can be said about the other Samaritans can be said about Simon. But I want you to know there's more said about Simon's salvation said about the other Samaritans, because it says he continued in Acts chapter 8, verse 13, then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and believed, seeing miracles and signs were done. Now that word continued is a translation of the same is written by two words in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. When it's talking about the first disciples there, in this, they steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Really, they were doing the same thing Simon did. They continued steadfastly in following the teaching of the apostles. Simon continued. That word, the same word is written, but translated. In Acts chapter 42. So it could be rendered correctly, Simon continued steadfast with Philip. And so, and he was inspired, but when he was following the teachings of Philip, he was doing the same thing. Saved, born again, born the blood of Christ, child of God, he's faithful to the Lord. There's nothing in the past to think otherwise, but that's a theory that's trying to uphold in that cross. Some have a theory that they're trying to uphold. But Simon had a problem. Simon sinned. In Acts chapter 8, begin reading in verse 14. Now, were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter to them, who praised them with the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, and only been baptized in the name of the Lord. Hands on them, and the whole, and they received the Holy Spirit. Who laid was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone and receive the Holy Spirit." So Simon laid the miraculous reception of the Holy Spirit to them. And when Simon tried to do that, when he tried to cry, Simon about the fact that Simon did it. I know. Saved, born again, he sinned and he fell. You don't have to argue about the fact that he fell. In fact, there's no way that anybody could doubt that, because you read Acts chapter 8, verses 20 through 23, and it emphatically shows that Simon fell. Your money perish with you. Simon was in danger of perishing, and I don't believe he's talking about physically, he's talking about spiritually. Because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion of this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may forgive you, for I perceive that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Now, I like the old King James Version. By the way, I noticed that some of the newer translations, the New American Standard, the English Standard, written the same way as the old English, the old King James Version, which says not that you're poisoned by bitterness, but that you're in the gall of bitterness. And that's the literal translation. The gall of bitterness. He was bitter. He was a bitter substance. And if you're in the gall of bitterness, you are in bitter of spiritual condition as you can possibly get into. You are bound by Simon. You have been born. Born again, born of the blood of Christ, saved, child of God. Simon sinned. Now, at this point in the lesson, Simon is in as bitter a spiritual condition as he can get himself into, and he is the slave of sin. Now, that's of a man who thought he was sin. Now he's lost. Don't tell me that the child of God cannot so sin as to be lost. He was lost. Don't tell me that Simon fell from grace. Remember the agree with everything that I've said. But now let's get deeper and there's more to this people immediately think about. You see, Simon had, I believe, every excuse that I've ever heard anyone give for a child of God's sin. And they'll give these excuses. Surely God doesn't count that sin against him. Surely sin, and then they'll give some way to think automatically, like continuous cleansing, or like the life of Christ being imputed to the child of God. Some mechanism, not talking, whereby one little sin is taken care of automatically without I've ever heard anybody talk simply over sin committed. First of all, Simon was a babe in Christ. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs. The apostles who were at Jerusalem heard had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now, Samaria is a 2-day journey by foot. So it could have been in 4 days that the news from the time that Simon believed and became a child of God, that news came from Samaria up to Jerusalem, that the Samaritans received the word of God. And the apostles decided to send out Peter and John to make the 2-day journey down to Samaria so they could receive the Holy Spirit. That been longer than that. Well, let's say 40 days. A person, man or woman, has been with God for 40 days. was a babe in Christ. Not any better question. Little babies are ignorant of a lot of things. Does that protect them from being harmed because they're ignorant of those things? They're just little babies. Little babies are stove in your house. Little baby is close to that flame. They don't know that it burns. They don't know that it'll severely burn them. They're ignorant of that. Does that keep the little baby from being burned? No. That's the reason we have to be careful and take care of a little baby. Make sure that doesn't happen to them. Protect them from harm. And by the way, that's the reason. Build them up. Because he was a baby, you in the possibility. Even though he did one time as a baby. And by the way, before he was walking in the light, remember that's literally. He was continued steadfast. Walking in the light. I've had preachers argue with me. Surely, someone who is walking in the light and just sin one time, God's not going to hold that against them. But the blood of Christ will automatically that like a windshield. Your windshield. As soon as the raindrop hits, wipe it off. That's automatic forgiveness. I don't have, once I turn those windshield wipers on, I don't have to. And that's the concept. That's automatic forgiveness. And that's the concept of the root of our brother. We teach him. He didn't know that. That child of God who was walking in the light. One time he said, you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bond. I don't believe the doctrine. It's not so, it's simply made up as an excuse to get around repenting of our sins. And there's another thing. Human weakness. Then I'll make my point. Acts 8, verses 18 and 19. When Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. So give me also this power, then you one whom I lay hands will receive the Holy Spirit. Simon made his living. Magical tricks. And by the way, there was a magician's guild. Those fellows who were in that magician's guild, they that's what he was doing. He had, as Peter talks about, he returned to his old way of life. That amazing trick, and I don't know how to do that. Here, I'll give you somebody to buy the knowledge of how to do that. So he was glorying the power, the miraculous divine power of the Holy Spirit, to the level of black magic. He had been doing for years. And he did that in ignorance. He didn't know any better. And he was working the old way of life. know of anybody to sin through strength? You don't sin through strength. You know what the devil does? The devil finds your weaknesses. He doesn't work on your strength. He knows you're strong there. The old devil finds where you're weak. That's what he wants. And if you have that weakness, you work on it, and you sin, and you've fallen. And you need to repent of that sin and ask God for forgiveness. And so, it's your weakness. You need to learn to stand in that area. And if you sin through that weakness, then you need to overcome that. And so you can overcome that in the future. But God doesn't overlook it because you sin through weakness. That's how people do sin. It's through, unless it's through sin. And that's another lesson entirely. Simon was ignorant. He sinned. Chapter 8, verse 20. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. He really thought buy the apostolic power and part of the spiritual gift with money. Can you buy the power of God with money? Can you buy blessings from God with money? God doesn't sell his blessings. He won't give you salvation. God won't give you blessings from God. He thought he sinned through ignorance. If God overlooks ignorance, we have the obligation to learn God's word. He doesn't overlook ignorance. An illustration of this. Suppose you drive back down. And you didn't know that 30 years ago, 55 miles an hour on the open highway, you didn't know it was going to be. You thought the speed was 50. It used to be 55 on the regular highways. You're driving along and you were 55 road and you the cop pulls you over and you roll down the road. Where are you going in such a hurry? You going to a fire? You're going to die? What's your hurry? I thought I was driving the speed limit. You were 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, don't you know? I thought I was driving the speed limit at 7. I didn't know 55. I don't do it in Arkansas. I think you get a ticket. I think I would too. Because you know what? Find out what the driver's laws are and you're supposed to know those. You're supposed to know the law of driving in the state of Illinois. You have the obligation to learn those laws. And you know what? God has given us a book that has all the rules. It's not that hard to understand it. Here it is right there. You have the obligation to study that book and learn what the rules are. No. Ignorance is no excuse under the law. Our obligation is to get busy and find out what the rules of the Lord are. Do you know how many times he sinned? He just sinned one time. That's all. I just sinned one little, just one little sin. By the way, Mr. Jesus, think about something. How do we know that trying to buy the ability to impart the Holy Spirit? We know that. There's only one passage in the Bible that explicitly teaches that it's a sin to try to buy the power to impart the Holy Spirit. And that's this passage. Simon sinned one time in ignorance. Peter said, you're in the garden of bitterness and you're in the bond of bitterness. I've had preachers of happy with me. Think about it. Now, here's an elder of the church. And he's been serving. He's been serving for more than 50 years. And he's always lived a good life. And he's gone into the store and bought himself a new suit. Nobody buys a new suit. He's gone into the store and bought himself a new suit. He's walking out the door wearing that brand new $5. And a car comes along and puts a mud puddle and splashes muddy water all over that new suit. And in a fit of rage, an old ugly word, and that car jumps the curb and hits him, and he dies without repeating what the word. He's going to go to hell. Well, I'm not the best. If you better not look for it, you better look for a right heart to repent of that sin. No excuse, and it doesn't work. In James chapter 2, and yet sin in one point, if you're teaching somebody, that makes you an adult. Let God's law in one point. That's serious. Violated the law. You're tempted equally against God's law. You must repent of that and ask God. One other point on this. He was humble about it. He wasn't proud. He was very humble. Simon answered, "Pray, Lord, for me, but none of the things you told me." You know, you say today, Peter made him the riot act. Or my mother, the cabbage. I don't know exactly what that means, but that means you really tell me. The gall of bitterness is bond of iniquity. Others to pray for us, because we need all the help we can get. So I every excuse I've got to overlook one little. You know what Simon had to do? Remedy for sin. God. You see, we have access by prayer. We have the faith to baptize into Christ. To take advantage of that access we have with the seed of God through Jesus, the high priest. He didn't know what to do. Repent, therefore. You're sorry. Changed your mind. That leads to a change of life. Repentance is a change of will, a change of mind. That leads to a change of life. Repent, therefore, this morning. And pray God at the thought of your heart. If you are a child of God, sin is dangerous. I don't care what that sin is. I don't care what excuse you have. It's true of King. Not going to. You've got to meet. You've got to do what he tells you. You've got to repent and pray God at the thought of your heart. Now, John says more about it. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, which is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. When people pray, "Help, I I may have sinned in some way, please forgive me. We're all sinners. That's not a confession. Humble enough, just as Simon was, to admit what you've done. That's what same word. You've been accused of sin, and you admit, yes, please forgive me. Confess, repent, turn away from that. Wake up, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to live a different kind of a life from this point on. Repent of that sin. I sinned in this way. I may have sinned. What if I've sinned? I've sinned. Confess the fact of sin. And confess what your sin is. Ask God for perhaps thought it may be forgiven you. And it's good. As Simon asked Peter, pray for him. He did the right thing. It's good. If our brothers and sisters pray for us, if they know of those sins, but nonetheless, it's good to get our brothers and sisters pray for us. James chapter 5. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another so you may be healed. Pray to your fervent prayer. Righteous man. Yes. But one all that it takes. One little sin in the life of an otherwise faithful child of God. And ask God for forgiveness. But Peter said to Simon, my bitterness, all my bitterness. Turn away from it. Say, I'll never do it again. Make up your mind now. Confess that sin. Ask God for forgiveness. Christ our high priest. Others to pray for each of the sin is known for fellowship of the brethren. Ask them to pray with you. Make your life right. We invite you to come while together we stand. Amen.